4 hours. We can have fun. My title today is Give It All. Give It All. I'm the kind of person that can't just go do something a little bit. I can't just kind of go swimming. I got to jump in head first. I can't just kind of hike partway up a hill. I have to go to the top. I can't just kind of do something. I'm a person that likes to give it all. I believe by nature, which I believe is a gift from God, which I thank Him for and accept from Him graciously. But how are you in your life? Do you give it all? Because I believe God has placed inside of us, because we are made in His image and likeness, the ability and the want and the drive to be able to give it all. We just have to choose to do that. There are days I don't feel good and I hurt and ache and maybe I'm ill or something's wrong with me, and I don't want to do anything. I want to sit in a chair and veg and not give anything. I want to give 1% of what I have to give that day, and that's like a high. But most days I like to give 110%. Okay, and that's what God likes us to give, all that we have within us. And His Word says that if we give what we have, He will pour into us with a greater measure than we can contain. So if we can continue giving all that we have, God will continue pouring into us more than we can give. It's pretty neat, right? It's like a cycle that never ends if you continue to give it all. God will continue to bless you. God will continue to increase your faith, your strength, your health, your ability, your finance, whatever it is. But to do that, you have to live according to God's principles and His Word. You have to do what God says to do, not what the world says to do, not what your grandma says to do, sometimes not even what your mom and dad say to do. Unless you're a child, then you are commanded to obey your parents. Okay? Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's talk to God. Father, I just thank You, God, for the privilege and the honor, God. God, to stand before Your people today, God, to deliver Your Word unto them. And God, I yield myself to You today, God, that Your Holy Spirit would speak through me, God, Your words of encouragement and wisdom to Your people. God, that they would not go out void, but God, they would be full of life. Father, full of strength and full of power and might, God, that Your people would be blessed today by Your word spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at a verse real quick in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. But he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. That's one verse in the Word of God to live your life by. And I believe we can transpose it to the rest of our lives, not just to the poor. But he who gives generously of his time, of his treasure, of his talent, of his giftings, of his abilities, of whatever, whatever, of his wisdom, his knowledge, will lack nothing. But he who withholds it, stores it up for himself, hoards it into himself, does not share, does not give to others, will sit under many curses. I don't know if y'all have read the Bible much, but I've read it a little bit. And I've read some of the curses God has put on some other people for not obeying His Word. And I don't want to be those people. I want to be the people that had to buy more kingdoms because they couldn't fit all their stuff in the one they had. I want to be the guy that had to build a new temple because he had too much gold to store, so he wanted to overlay everything with gold. I want to be the guy that has too much and has to find some more people to give something to. If we live according to the Word of God, that's the life He has in store for us. His blessing in store for us. Can I tell you guys a story? All right. I like stories. So some of you may know I work as a hunting guide. Over the fall, we had this young man working for us from Kansas. It's part of a college program. He was doing an internship, learning about the hunting, outfitting world and industry. And he was making a pretty low wage. Really, it was a college class and credit to him, so he was paying the college to be here working with us. He was fortunate, in my opinion, to be given a wage to be there and work. And also free housing, free food, You know, it had lots of benefits with it as well. And one day he's working kind of, he's given like 5%. You say, what's going on? What? He goes, well, if you would pay me more, I would work harder. I'm like, well, I'm not the one that decides what you make, but I am the one that decides if you're doing your job or not. So do your job. The Word of God tells us we should give as much of ourselves, whether we're getting paid or not. We should give as though we're giving unto the Lord, which means we should give all that is within us and rejoice in that. We give with all of our being, with all of our might, no matter what we're doing. So one day we're out mountain lion hunting. There's no snow on the ground. So basically you're just hiking around hoping the dogs catch the scent of a lion on the ground. And it was my standard, a very easy hike, a nice casual day. We're going to do about a 3-hour loop. And we're about halfway through it, and he's like, are we ever going to get out of here? I'm like, well, yeah, we're going to hit the end of the run and swing over. We're actually climbing a ridge and going to go up around the side hill and then drop in the bottom and climb out the other side. He's like, you're joking, right? I'm like, no. He's like, why do you do this? I'm like, you're not having fun? And it's torturous some days, you feel it, but I love that. I love to feel that burn and know I can climb this mountain. So we drop into the canyon, we start up the other side and start picking up mountain lion tracks a day or two old in the mud. And I was like, well, this is at least good. There's a lion around here somewhere. We go on around, next draw, I kick a couple dogs loose, and pretty soon I hear one of them open up. I said, get ready. If she's barking, she sees the lion. Pretty soon on the hillside, this mountain lion walks out of the brush. And he goes across the top of this big cliff. And, of course, at this point, he's running from the dog now. He's just loping across this big cliff just effortlessly. And I was like, I'd love to do that. He runs and he jumps. It's probably a 20-foot drop, which is about as high as these lights. He just bails off like it's no big deal. Keeps running down the hill, doesn't miss a beat. Of course, the dog's on top of the cliff trying to figure out how to get down, and we're watching the mountain lion run across the hillside. Anyways, about an hour and a half of this goes on. We're just watching the mountain lion run here and there, in and out of the cliffs, and the dogs would get cliffed out, and finally they get him in a tree. And I'm just like, wasn't that amazing? And for me, I've been lion hunting for about 16 years now. It was in one of the top races I've ever got to view. Usually you're in the timber, you don't get to see the lion, you don't get to see any of that going on. For me, it was just a highlight of my lion hunting career. And he's just like, I would never do this again. What? Are you serious? It's like, I would hike another 1,000 days to see this once again. And he's like, I'm like, even for this experience, you wouldn't do that again? And he's like, no. I was like, wow. Sometimes in our spiritual lives, God has things in store for us. And we have to keep pushing through to have that encounter with God. Because I've hiked lots of days, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, just looking for a track to follow and not coming up with anything. And returning home and saying, well, we'll go try again tomorrow. And at one point in my lion hunting career, I hunted for 14 days straight. Of course, it was terrible conditions, but could not find a lion track. And for me, that was all right, because I knew one day I would have that experience again. I would find the track. I'd get to enjoy the race. In our spiritual lives, sometimes we go through a little bit of a dry spell. And go, well, I don't feel God in my life. I don't see what God's doing in my life. That's the point you need to give it all. That's the point you need to press into God the most. That's the point you've got to seek God with all your heart, with all your being. Because if we can only enjoy an experience and press into God in the good times, when we're feeling His presence, when we see what He's doing in our lives, then our faith in God is pretty weak. There's not a lot going on there. But if we can put that same energy, giving it all, into God, when we don't feel Him at all, when we don't see Him actively working in our lives, that's your faith at work. That's your faith in God, professing, God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't care what I'm going through right now. I don't care what I'm feeling right now. I'm going to give it all because I know just around the corner is that amazing day with you, Lord God. I know just around the corner is a miracle waiting for me, Lord God, and I'm going to press into you until I get it. I'm going to seek you until I find it. Amen? Amen. On another encounter, this young man had never seen a forest grouse. They only have prairie chickens back where he comes from. So he really wanted to shoot a grouse. I'm like, okay, well, we have to go run some baits one day out in the woods, so we'll run the baits and we'll take a few hours to go grouse hunting. He's like, okay, sounds good. So we went and did our work, got the baits done, had my bird dogs along, and we're out there. I stopped the truck, and he goes, what? I said, well, we're going to go grouse hunting. He's like, well, where are they? I said, well, they're in the woods. He thought me being a hunting guy just had it all together and we could just drive to a spot, get out and shoot them, get back in and go home. I said, well, this mountain is really good for grouse hunting. So again, he looks at me like, we have to hike? I said, yeah, we're going to have to work at it a little bit. You know, scent conditions aren't good. It was still hot and dry when it was still smoky this fall. And we get out and hike and hike and hike. And the dogs pointed several, but they flushed before we got there. Never worked out, didn't get a shot off. And he was just like, wow, you do this for fun? I was like, yeah, I'm crazy like that. My dogs had a good time, I had a good time. Got to eat some huckleberries while we were up there. It's delicious. Sometimes we expect God to just hand deliver it to us, wrapped up in a package, and go, well, just wait there. And sometimes he does just bring it to us. Sometimes we need that, but all too often we sit on our heels and we wait. We say, God, you know, so bring it to me. And God says, no, get up and come to me. You come to me. You put out a little effort. You start giving of yourself. And then I can give unto you. Then I can give you what you desire, what you seek, what you long for. This young man finally did get a grouse. Not that day. It was after the rains came and the grouse hunting was much better. But we have to put a little effort into our life, into our walk with Christ, into our relationship with Christ. So if you're only about religion, you're missing the whole point of Christianity. Christianity is about a relationship with a God who loves you, with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's not about religion. It's not about a religious 21-day fast. And we don't do a 21-day fast out of religion. We do it because we truly want to seek God and His will for our lives and for the Life Center in the year to come. We're seeking God for something He has for us. We say, God, we can do something next year, and we can make it good. But God, if we seek You for 21 days as a corporate body, God, we can do Your will and make it great. We have enough of God in us just by being human that we can do stuff good. We can make something happen. But if we seek Him and His perfect will for every day of our lives, then we can make something great every time. If it's God's will, it's great every time. If it's our will, sometimes we hit the mark, sometimes we miss. To miss the mark is to sin. To miss the will of God is to sin because you're not in obedience to His will. Is that making sense? Anyone want to go grouse hunting? Woohoo! There's some takers. I got a big mountain. Got two more days. Amen. Also, this young man, he came to Idaho, picked us as an outfitter because he wanted to hunt elk while he was on this. If you don't want to hike for a grouse, you don't want to hunt elk. But he finally really wanted to give elk hunting a try. He asked me where to go once again. I gave him a general area, and because I hadn't been in that area, I couldn't say go to the third pine tree past the big rock. And he goes, well, I went and looked at it. That place is huge. It's elk country. He said, well, where are they at in there? I said, elk will be where you find them. He wanted to archery hunt, so it's bugling season. I said, well, go in there. You know, once season opens, go in there and try to cow call or bugle, try to get something to respond to you, and that will tell you where they're at, because that's what I would do. I don't know where they're at until I find them. So he goes in there the first day, and has five different bulls bugling at him. And I'm just like, okay, for me, that's a dream day in the woods. He comes back all excited. He's back by 11 o'clock in the morning. He's like, oh, you wouldn't believe it. I had five bulls bugling. I said, oh, yeah, you get in on one? Well, I didn't know which one to go after. I'm like, what? You're back early. I'm thinking you need help packing meat. I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, I was trying to pick out which one was the biggest. I was like, so you could see them? He goes, no, I could just hear them. I'm like, well, why didn't you just pick one and go after it? You've never hunted elk. I said, oh, I didn't think about that. So he just sat there and listened to them bugle in the woods until they shut up. And he never pursued a direction of any one bugle. He just hiked back out of the woods. Sometimes God places into our lives everything we ask for. And when we're finally looking at it face to face, it's right there before us. We don't know what to do with it. We don't ask God for help. We don't ask Him for instruction. We just turn and walk away. Say, God, I can't deal with this. God, I can't handle this right now. I know I asked You for it once. But I've been there a couple days with compassion. I said, God, why did I ever ask You for more compassion? This is ripping my heart out. So be serious when you're asking God for something. When you're seeking God for something into your life. I can watch a movie, and if a little child is being harmed during that movie, it jerks my heart out. God's given me that much compassion. And I'm going, Arby, it's Hollywood. The movie's fake. It's not real. But my heart of compassion is just, ooh, I want to help. What can I do? Should I start praying for this individual? And I just, Arby, it's a movie. You're okay. It's just a movie. But I know there's people in our lives that are hurting that much as well. But when God places something into your hands you've been asking for, you've requested of Him, then seek His wisdom. What do I do with it? Now what do I do, God? I know I asked for $1 million. Now what do I do with it? Well, of course, first of all, 100 grand is your tithe. Give that to the church you serve in. Right? Ridge has been seeing the, whatever the lottery tickets are, we pull up the gas station. He goes, 30 million, Dad! Do you know what I would do with 30 million? And I'm like, no, what would you do? He starts listing off. He spends about $5,000. There's no comprehension of what 30 million really is. God wants to bless us to that extreme. God has that extreme waiting in store for us in the heavenly realms. But we have to tap into it. And the only way to tap into it isn't buying a ticket, but it's by giving of ourselves, by living according to the Word of God, by living by His laws, His principles, His morals, His values for our lives. Because you first have to align yourself with the blessing, which is the Word of God. If you're not walking in the Word of God, you're not walking in the blessing of God. And He says, well, I can only give you $10 today. Or whatever He gives you. Or He can say, you know what, you're walking so faithfully, I'm going to bless you. As My Word says, I will bless you. More than you can contain, more than you can hold. There's a couple guys in the Bible got some pretty big blessings from God. One was a commander of an army of the king of Aram. His name was Naaman. He was a great, valiant warrior, won and led many victories for the king. But he came down with leprosy, which, you know, leprosy is an incurable disease. Your body parts start falling off. It's not very fun, they say. Can't carry my sword anymore. But he has this little servant girl working for him. Sometimes the word of God comes through even children. This little servant girl is working for him. He says, hey, why don't you call on the man of God from Israel? He can heal you. Why don't you go to him? He talks to the king. King says, okay. He goes to Elisha. And Elisha won't even let him meet him. He sends one of his servants. He said, go tell Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and he will be cleansed. Naaman gets mad because he's a very wealthy commander of an army. He's used to be treated with respect. He's mad because Elisha didn't come out to meet him and kiss the rings on his fingers and bow before him and tell him what a great guy he is. So he gets mad and he just goes off angry and he's mad and having a little rage fit going on. Finally, his servant goes, Naaman, if he had told you to do something great, to go conquer a city or go save some princess locked in a castle, would you not have done it? He goes, well, of course, that's what I do. He says, now how much more should you go and do what he says and dip in that river? He goes, but the river's nasty. I mean, there's cleaner rivers around. Can't I dip in the clear water? God says, no, the duck pond. So Naaman says, all right, I'll do it. Goes down, dipped 7 times, comes up, he's healed. Sometimes what God has in store for us is a little messy. Sometimes it's disgusting. Or at least appears that way to us. Sometimes it doesn't look right, it doesn't look okay. But if God says it, we have to be obedient to what he says in our lives. We have to obey the command of God and go forth and do it. Naaman, of course, his health was restored, the disease was rid from his body. Another encounter, there was a king getting ready to fight Aram. Elisha says, grab your bow and arrows. He grabs them up. He says, shoot an arrow of victory. He shoots his arrow. He says, now take the rest of the arrows and strike them on the ground. And to me, the king's being kind of wimpy, at least what I visualize in my mind. He takes them and strikes them 3 times on the ground. And Elisha, the prophet, just gets angry with him. He says, what are you doing? If you would have stricken them 7, 8, destroyed them, if you would have broken the arrows, if you would have gave it all, you would have beaten the armies that are fighting against you. But instead, you didn't give it all. You gave 20% or 30%. So you're going to beat them 3 times because you struck the arrows 3 times. And then they will overtake you. Sometimes God gives us instruction. We're like, this really isn't me, God. That's not really how I do things, God. So we just kind of do it. Or that's not my ministry, God. That's not how I operate, God. We just give him a little piece of us. In return, we miss the whole blessing of God. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. Give it all. If God asks you to do something, give it all. One last story, the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus, this guy's wealthy beyond all reason. Comes to Jesus, says, what must I do to be saved? He says, keep the commands. He goes, well, I've done all that since I was a youth. What more can I do? He says, well, if you really want to be perfect in the eyes of the Lord, sell all your possessions, give all your money away to the poor. Liquidate everything you have. And the young ruler goes, well, I can't do that. I've worked my whole life to get this. He walks away with his head down. Scripture never really says what really happened to the guy after that. I hope he got his head on straight and sold everything and got right with God. Sometimes God pours blessings into our lives and we go, this is better than I've ever had it. This is better than my family's ever had it. I need to hang on to what I have. And God's saying, no, don't. Just give it away. Give it up. Give it all. If you truly want to serve me, give your whole life to me. Give your whole being to me. Give your whole actions to me. Give your whole strength to me. Give it all. Because as we give all of ourselves, God gives all of himself to us. And the more of God we have in us, the more Christ-like we become. The more Christ-like we become, the better he's reflected through us to those around us. We're going to read through six passages of Scripture real quick. Like, these are some keys to giving it all, at least as I see them. You can go to Philippians. Should be popping up here too. 4:6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If you're going to give it all in your life, give all your prayers, all your requests to God. He's someone that can do something about it. Give it all to God. Don't worry. Just say, God, I give my worries to you. I give my anxiety to you, God. And I receive what you have for me. God, I'm going to request of you. I'm going to ask by petition. God, what do you have for me? Give it all to God. Give your prayer life to God. Give your worries and anxieties to God. I'm going to jump down to Psalms 27:14. There is a little space in your bulletin for notes. If you want to write these scriptures down, you can go home and read them, memorize them, get them embedded into your heart. These are the weapons we fight with in the spiritual realm. We don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities, against the spiritual realm. These are your weapons. These are your ammunitions. In today's world, they're zombie bullets. Crazy people talking about zombies. I'm serious. You go to buy ammo, they say, do you want the zombie bullets? It's like, what? Zombies are out of control. Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Give all your patience to God. Sometimes the hardest thing for people in our culture to do is wait. We want it now. What do you mean it takes a minute in the microwave? Don't you have a faster microwave? No, wait on the Lord. That can be taken two ways. You're waiting patiently for him to restore you, for him to come to you, for him to bring you whatever you need. Or you're waiting on him as a waiter at a restaurant and you're serving his people. That's a twofold meaning. You give your patience and your time to see, God, what would you have for me? I'm waiting upon you. And now that you've told me what you have for me, what you'd have me to do, I'm going to go wait on your people. I'm going to go serve your people. I'm going to go give it all to your people. No matter where you're at, you can be a servant to those around you. Psalms 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hopefully these six scriptures you will hide in your heart so that when the enemy would come to attack you, would try to discourage you or tear you down or tell you you're not good enough, you would have these weapons in your arsenal and say, no, my God says I'm an overcomer. My God says I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. My God says I'm set free by the power of Jesus Christ. My God says, no matter what sin I've committed, if I ask of him, I'm forgiven. You can't beat me with those old sticks. Hide the word of God in your heart. It will teach you to give it all. I'm going to jump to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as though you're doing it for God. It doesn't say do it as hard as the money you're making. If you're making $10 an hour, give 10%. If you make $100 an hour, you need to give 100%. It says no matter what you're doing, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. Give as though you're giving to God. No matter what you're doing, where you're at, give it unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm a cheerful giver. I love to give things away. It's fun. I enjoy it. Seeing somebody else go, I really needed that. Thank you. Seeing somebody else blessed. Seeing their needs met. That brings joy to my heart. So I know it brings joy to God's heart. But God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give begrudgingly, saying, oh, I have to give this. Now your tithe, it's required of you. That's a command of God. To give 10% of your increase back to God. That's a command. But your giving above and beyond that, somebody asks you to give $100, you don't really want to give $100, you probably shouldn't give $100. But if you say, ooh, pick me, I want to give it. I want to give it. Last week, Mike gave away $100. It was awesome. He did it cheerfully, joyfully, excited to be obedient to God. You give out of obedience to God. Last but not least, Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6. I'm glad they gave me more than 5 minutes today. If you missed out last week, there were 6 speakers, only got 5 minutes apiece. What verse did I say? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. This is one you need to bury inside of you, deep down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You give to God all your understanding, all your knowledge, and replace it with His. Replace it with what He knows, with what He understands. Don't look at your own path, look at God's path for you. Give it all to God. Say, God, my knowledge is nothing without you. God, my understanding is nothing without you. So God, I yield my mind to you. Use me, God, for your glory today. You can pray that every day. I don't care what you do for a living. God's presence is where you are. God inside of us. You take it to the world. You take God to the world. You be the light of the world. You're supposed to reflect God, Christ, wherever we are. That's a choice we have to make every day. Some days I do good. Some days I don't do very good. Some days I do awesome. But those are the days I don't get out of bed. Amen. Give it all to God. He has so many good things in store for you, so many blessings for your life, your family, your friends around you that are going to channel through you. But you've got to give it all to God. You've got to give it all up. God's principles don't align with the principles of this world. Just so you know. There's no way you can give 10% of your income to God and make more money than you would if you kept 100 in this world. But in God's world, he says, you give your 10% to me, and I will multiply your 90 beyond your 100. I will give back to you in measures that you can't understand or comprehend. It's not always in Benjamins, but it's in health, vehicles that run well, houses that don't fall apart. God can bless you in so many ways, it's unbelievable. But you have to give it all to him. So give your time into studying his word, into bearing his word into your heart, that you would know what his desires for your life are. Because God has good things in store for you. Good way to start that, 21-day fast coming up. Starting out January 1st, we're going to be fasting for 21 days. You can fast whatever.